This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up this hour, we will hear from two guests who have different takes on a new state law that requires some food stamp recipients to seek work. Since the new law has been in place for during the first 3 months, 15,000 people were dropped from the program. We'll hear from a columnist who says there's nothing heartless about this, and a state lawmaker who is seeking a waiver for the time limits for Milwaukee County. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and this is our year-end membership drive. It is your chance to support the Wisconsin Public Radio programs that you count on every day, the programs that keep you in touch, informed, interested. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important as we end this year and we look forward to 2016.
And this is a great hour to make your pledge because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500 in effect. So this generous match is from the Zock family and an anonymous donor. It means they'll match every dollar you give until we reach that $2,500 mark.
It is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, and I do love these because your pledge is double your support for the programs you love. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On the Joy Cardine Show, you hear multiple sides of an issue so you can make up your own mind, and you can count on hearing a fair, inclusive conversation. Together, we keep up with the issues of the day, we have some fun, and we follow our curiosity and learn.
There is really nothing else like it on the radio. It really is something special. Your support is a vital part of what makes this all possible. It is the single biggest piece of funding, your listener support. Please make your pledge during this year-end pledge drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the radio programs that you count on.
I'm John Nevins from Janesville, Wisconsin, and today I'd like to just share a little bit about why public radio means something to me. As a young boy, I listened to the radio quite a bit because we didn't have television. And I remember laying many times on a Saturday morning in front of the radio and listening to the programming and imagining that I was with the Lone Ranger or with whoever it was that was on the radio. And my parents forbid me to listen to the Green Hornet, but we used to sneak off and do it anyway.
He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America.
Today I don't have to sneak off at all. I listen to it daily in the kitchen as I fix breakfast in the morning and at noon when I'm fixing dinner. It's a very special part of my life, and I am very proud to be a member of WPR and to be here today to share that thanks with the organization.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this year-end membership drive. Joy Cardine with Bill Martins asking for your support. Your gift of $10 a month or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount. And well, we have this challenge grant going on. It's going to be doubled.
It will. We've got a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500 this hour. So if you make a pledge of $60 a month, that pledge is essentially going to be doubled for $120. You see how that works? So we're going to do that up until $2,500. So it's a great way to get that pledge doubled. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is personally important to you, and it's probably also important for you that everyone in the state has access to this high-quality information and entertainment.
Become a member with a contribution of, say, $5 a month, and you're not only doing something good for yourself, you're doing something good for the whole community. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this holiday season, not only can you support the radio service that you love, you can give something extra. You can ask for food for 20 when you give $5 a month, or food for 40 when you give $10 a month. That's your thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. You will be helping those who need in your region at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And get that pledge doubled in the process. Not only will you be doing a great thing for with the Food for 20 or the Food for 40 program, but you'll also be supporting the great programming that you've come to depend on here on Wisconsin Public Radio, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, our dollar for dollar match is still in effect, so give now and your support will go twice as far. You don't want to give up this opportunity. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Bill. We'll talk to you a little bit later. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. According to recent headlines, 15,000 Wisconsin residents lost access to food stamps in the first 3 months of a new law requiring certain recipients to find work. We will talk with a guest columnist about why she says the new requirements are entirely reasonable. And then later in the program, we will welcome in a guest lawmaker who criticizes the state program designed to help food share recipients find jobs. And we will welcome your thoughts and your questions on this. Do you think there's anything wrong with requiring able-bodied adults without children living at home to work at least 80 hours a month or look for work in order to stay in the food share program? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our first guest is Jessica McBride, a senior journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She's also a columnist with the Waukesha Freeman and on Milwaukee.com. Her recent piece was titled, "No, Republicans Are Not Being Heartless Because 15,000 People Lost Food Stamps." She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, according to data the Wisconsin State Journal obtained, 15,000 food stamp recipients in the state were dropped from the program because they didn't find jobs. You wrote that it's not the Republicans' fault that that this new work requirement is, quote, entirely reasonable. Why do you say that?
Well, you know, when you first hear about this, it does sound terrible. It's also, you know, fairly jarring in juxtaposition to your food, you know, food drive to have headlines about 15,000 people kicked off food stamps, especially as we're going into the holidays. And, you know, I have empathy for people on food stamps. But when you actually take a step back and in a discerning way, you take a look at the details of what the Republicans have done here, I think it's very hard to argue that this is not reasonable. They have to find, you know, places to cut somewhere. The caseload of Wisconsinites who are on food stamps has absolutely exploded since 1985. And I think you did a good job of outlining in your introduction, you know, the specific details of the program, which I think often get sort of lost in the criticism and in some of the newspaper headlines. So, for example, in order to have lost your food stamps, you have to be an able-bodied adult. So you had to be between the ages of 18 and 49. So that takes care of elderly people, for example, and children. I mean, they can still get food stamps. So able-bodied adults between the ages of 18 to 49 could be kicked off. Number two, you couldn't have children in the home. So if you're an able-bodied adult who's, say, 35, but you have a young child in the home, you couldn't be kicked off. And that's just for starters. Then you got into the other point, which I think is really critical. In order to keep the food stamps, you just had to go to job training. So, you know, I think if the Republican program had said, you lose food stamps, even if you're in those categories, if you cannot find work, I would have a problem with that. Because I do think unemployment is a huge problem, especially in the city of Milwaukee. I do think some people are struggling to find jobs. I do think that there have been too many, you know, high-profile layoffs in this state recently. I do not think that Republicans are doing enough to foster robust job creation in the state. But the plan doesn't do that. It says all you have to do is go to job training.
Yeah, we are going to be talking next with Democratic State Representative Mandela Barnes. He He said that 2,700 Milwaukee residents are losing food stamp benefits each month, and that the state program that is supposed to help them find work, the job training, has only a 7% success rate. So he says the opportunity just isn't there.
Well, and he might be right about that, but I see that as a separate issue than, you know, boost that program. But that's not the reason that people are losing food stamps. They're losing food stamps because they showed absolutely, you know, no initiative to even go to the job training program. They're not losing the food stamps because they couldn't get a job as a result of the job training program. They're not even willing to show up. And I would also point out there's a lot of exemptions in this work requirement. So there are many, many reasons that people could say, for whatever, you know, reason here, I can't go to job training. I can't do the work requirement. Because you could either go to job training or you could work a minimum of 80 hours a month to keep your food stamps. Here are some of the exemptions. If you're in an alcohol or drug abuse treatment program, you can be exempted from being dropped. If you're physically or mentally unable to work, you can be exempted from being dropped. If you are a primary caregiver for a person who cannot care for himself or herself, you can get an exemption. If you're enrolled in college at least half-time, you can get an exemption. And if you're pregnant, you can get an exemption. And those are just some of the exemptions. So when I actually took a look at this, I thought Republicans were really meticulous when it came to trying to sort out, like, who are the individuals who actually, you know, probably should be trying to at least get training to try to get jobs if they're going to be getting money from, you know, the state and from taxpayers. And who are those people who legitimately have reasons why they can't do such things? There's so many exemptions. I think you have to try really hard to get kicked off food stamps at this point when you actually look at what this law does.
Representative Barnes is asking Governor Walker to waive the 3-month time limit for recipients if they decline to look for work. Is 3 months a reasonable length of time in your opinion?
Well, I mean, again, all they have to do is go to the free job training. They have to sign up for job training. I would think that somebody would be able to do that in a 3-month time period, but I don't have a problem with, you know, extending the time limit. I mean, if you want to extend it to 5 months, fine, but I would suspect when he comes on the air, like, he's against probably any work requirement is what I would guess. And I think that, you know, if you want to get benefits from the state, at some point I think it's incumbent on you to figure out what you need to do to keep them. And I think we should be encouraging able-bodied adults who are between the ages of 18 and 49, who don't have children in the home, who don't have any of those exemptions, to at least get training to try to start finding jobs. Because some of the people in the program are finding jobs, and that's obviously better for them. Now, I also did want to make the point, though. I mean, I don't support everything Republicans have been doing lately. I'm very upset, for example. I won't go on this huge tangent, but quickly, I'm very upset at the decimation of UW-Milwaukee and its budget, for example. I think that's going to have a devastating effect on Milwaukee and Milwaukee residents. We have, I believe, 40% of the diversity in the UW system in our student body, for example. I wish people like Mandela Barnes would start talking about what's going on at UWM and the absolute decimation of its budget. I think that's much more destructive to Milwaukee, to its future, to the individuals who, in fact, are trying to get training, right? So those are people trying to get training. They're trying to get an education so that they can get jobs. I'd like to hear more outcry from the Milwaukee leadership about things like that. I mean, I sort of think it's misplaced. That's a much bigger deal to me.
Jill, let me share Jill on Facebook, who says, I know it's hard to believe, but there are truly individuals who are not employable. Lack of education, transportation, acceptable clothing, vision, and dental care can make it impossible to secure even an entry-level job. Looking for a job means that the workplaces will have to sign off or verify the individual was there. I wish it was so easy or as easy as it seems. The reality is that it is not. What do you think of that, Jessica?
Well, the job training program is designed to address issues like that. You know, it's designed to put professionals and experts around individuals to attempt to help them to deal with exactly those kinds of things, to see if we can help them become employable, which would obviously be, you know, probably their goal, probably in society's best interest. And I would just repeat the point, which just gets lost a lot. Like, they don't have to find a job in order, you know, in order to keep their food stamps. Again, they just have to go to the training. So I would think someone concerned about the issues this woman cites would, you know, would support, like, attempts to help people fix those things or do those things. And I agree with her. You know, I think it's the reason we need the job training component. And I'll say it again. I think it's the reason why we shouldn't be decimating UWM and other institutions in the city, which really truly are helping people to get training, to get education, so that they can be self-sufficient in the cases where, you know, they truly don't have a mental or physical ailment that prevents them from doing so, and so on. And you know, I get poverty. I was raised in a very small northern Wisconsin town. There's a lot of rural poverty in the state. I was born to a teenage mother. She was a single mother for a long time and raised me on about $10,000 a year along with my brother. And I remember looking for pennies in the corner of the house so we could play the dime toss at the fair. I mean, we always had enough to eat, but, and she always worked. I'll give her credit for that, but we really didn't have very much growing up. And so I understand poverty, and I would make a few points that I think get lost on the other side about people on food stamps. So I have some interesting statistics here.
Let me hold you on that, because we actually have a break that I need to meet, and we have some pledge drive business to accomplish, and then we will wrap up our conversation with Jessica McBride, who is a senior journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She also wrote a recent piece, No Republicans Aren't Being Heartless, because 15,000 people lost food stamps. And she's telling us why. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will return to our conversation about food stamps in just a moment. But first, I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and this is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio, and you are listening to our year-end membership drive. Lucky you. It is time for you to think about how much you have learned from and enjoyed from Wisconsin Public Radio programs in 2015, and think about how much you want to keep them going strong in 2016. So take action with your gift, your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. So, Bill Martins, how is that dollar-for-dollar match going?
Well, this is why I love these dollar-for-dollar grant or challenge matches, because they work, and today is no exception. We had a $2,500 dollar-for-dollar match. We have passed $3,000 now, so that is now off the table. But thank you very much, listeners, for making that happen. Great job, everybody. If you didn't get to take part in that, we could still use your pledge, and you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A large slice of WPR's budget pie, the biggest slice, is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, the state and federal government, businesses, are important, your contribution makes a huge difference. WPR is the service that it is thanks to listener support. So give now any amount that works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the season of giving, and you can do two good things when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio today. Your donation will support the programs you rely on, of course, and you can also ask for the Food for 20 when you give $5 a month, or Food for 40 when you give $10 a month.
So these thank you gifts provide meals to people who are facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. It all starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make that pledge of any amount and help support the programs that you count on here, like the Joy Cardine Show. Again, that's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you to a member from Fox Lake who pledged and said, I listen to the Joy Cardine Show every morning on my way to work, and I find it very interesting, enlightening, and motivating. Well, that's very kind of you, and I hope you were motivated to make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you, Bill. We will talk to you in just a bit. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Jessica McBride. She is a senior journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and a columnist with the Waukesha Freeman and on Milwaukee.com. We are talking with her about her recent piece, which was titled, No, Republicans Aren't Being Heartless Because 15,000 People Lost Food Stamps. During the first 3 months of a new law that requires some food stamp recipients to seek work, 15,000 people were dropped from the program. The new rule says that if you are an able-bodied adult without children living at home, you must look for work to stay in this program. And we're wondering if you think there's anything wrong with this new rule or this new law. Are you concerned about the 15,000 who no longer have access to the program? Is there any reason why an able-bodied adult should not work or look for work in order to get food stamps? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Jessica, before our pledge break, you said you had some interesting statistics that you wanted to share about food stamps.
Yeah, I thought that they would be informative for your listening audience. So I really think what Republicans are doing here is they're trying to rein in some of these costs because over 13% of the state is on food stamps, which is kind of a shocking percentage when you step back and think about it. And this has really skyrocketed since 1985. And it really started to take off in about 2008, which is when this went up a lot. There are 760,772 people in Wisconsin who are on food stamps. 23% of them are elderly, blind, or disabled, and many of them are children. So, I mean, we shouldn't stigmatize people on food stamps. I'm not trying to do that at all here. I have great empathy for them. And, of course, the work requirement wouldn't affect, you know, the elderly, blind, or disabled people or the many children on it. One-third have at least one person in their family who is working already, and I think that's an important point, too. So I do think some of the, you know, Republican proponents of the work requirements, sometimes maybe they're not empathetic enough to people who are on food stamps, or they accuse them of being lazy or whatnot, and really that's not true. You know, many food stamp recipients are already working. I mean, I do think we should look at some other systemic fixes, such as increasing the minimum wage somewhat. I mean, the state is basically subsidizing the fact businesses don't pay a living wage when you think about it with the food stamp program. So there's a lot of people working and they're not making enough to put food on their family's table. I think that's a problem. But when it comes to the work requirement, I just think they're trying to be very discerning and sort out the people who truly can't go to job training or try to find a job from the people who, you know, it just doesn't seem to be a legitimate reason that they can't be at least doing that part of it.
Let's share this comment from Laura on Facebook. I worked with people who were often with people who also were unemployable despite all the training that is available. Then, if they get a job, that makes them ineligible for the food stamp program, but it doesn't pay enough to keep them their heads above water. So I guess you touched on raising the minimum wage might be a fix for that, but what about in the meantime?
And I guess I don't know if I 100% buy that there are people that you just can't help. I mean, I'm an educator. I work at UW-Milwaukee. I see all kinds of different students. I see second-chance students. And I'm just of the belief as an educator that everybody can be trained, that you can help every individual reach a greater potential. And I think we should at least be trying as a society, and this is creating an incentive for those people without a legitimate reason to not be able to go to job training to at least start accessing some of that help and those services. And, you know, I find that most people want to be employed, or they want to find that potential within themselves. And I would go back to my sort of the point I threaded in, though, that I think it is an important point. I think some of the reasons that people criticize this when it comes to what the Republicans are doing is because there are other pieces of it that they're dropping the ball on. So like UWM, like I don't understand why you would support a work requirement and you would have all this rhetoric about helping people get trained and educated to find jobs, and then you would turn around and you would gut you know, major public university in our state, which has so much diversity and is located in the city of Milwaukee, where many of these individuals are. Like, that seems incoherent and incongruent to me, what the Republicans are doing there. So I by no means think, like, everything they're doing is perfect. But what I would do is do this and then also boost funding for job training and at least maintain the level of funding that UWM has had in past years. I certainly wouldn't be gutting like the institutions that do exactly what Republicans say they want done here, which is to help people become self-sufficient, which I think we should all agree should be, you know, one of society's goals.
Jessica, thank you. We have to move on to our other perspective. Well, I can just give you a very short time to kind of conclude. Are there any changes you might make to this work requirement for food stamps, or do you think what else might you do?
I mean, I wouldn't change a thing to this, but like I said, I really think that some of the Milwaukee leadership needs to be stronger in urging additional funding for institutions like UWM. It's such a key part of this. I mean, these are institutions that are designed to lift up individuals who are in this situation where they're you know, able-bodied, childless adults between the ages of 18 and 49, and they're not finding jobs for whatever reason or going to job training. And so I really just think that needs to be a key component of it. And I think, and I'll leave you with this thought, I think the public doesn't understand how bad it is, what was done to the UWM institution with the budget. So I guess I just think there needs to be other components to this. But when you look at what they've actually done here, I think it's very hard to argue that it's not reasonable.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Jessica McBride, senior journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and a columnist with the Waukesha Freeman and on Milwaukee.com. Her recent piece was titled, No, Republicans Are Not Being Heartless Because 15,000 People Lost Food Stamps. Well, now we will get another perspective. Our next guest is Mandela Barnes, a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. He is urging the Department of Health Services to request a waiver from time limits for food share recipients in Milwaukee County. Representative Barnes, good morning.
Good morning, Julian. Thank you for having me on this morning. I also had a good time listening to the previous guest. I had a chance to read her piece in All Milwaukee, and while she does make some very interesting point, some things that have to be considered. What we're requesting is a waiver from the federal government. There have been issues with RestCare, who is the company who's been tasked with providing the job training individuals. There have been a number of concerns, and some of those have even gone to the federal government already, with the state of Wisconsin as a result being placed into corrective action for some of the questions that were asked of job applicants. And in Milwaukee County, where the majority of people who have lost their benefits, we're looking at a 50-plus percent displacement rate versus a 7% job placement rate. So over 50% of the people lost their food share benefits, while only 7% of the people who went into the job training received employment. So that is the first issue, first and foremost, in my personal opinion and the opinion of many others who I've talked with about the issue. What we want to do is find a way to put as many people to work as possible, and we want to do that in the most effective way possible. Unfortunately, the model that's being used right now has not been the most effective model.
Let me bring in a caller, and you can go further.
Okay.
Martin in Madison. Hi, Martin.
Good morning, Joyce. How are you?
I'm good. Go ahead with your comment.
I should say that I'm aware of what the Republicans are doing, and I believe it's a prudent measure in this particular program. I think that anybody who is drawing from the public coffers has a responsibility to demonstrate that they are attempting to live an independent and self-sufficient life. I know that there are actually a fair number of people, and I don't know what that number is, but I know there are a fair number of people who are on food stamps and are abusing the program. I'm aware, in my particular situation, I know of an individual who's been on food stamps for, I believe it's going close to 2 years or something like that. I'm not exactly sure in the time frame. But they are doing almost nothing to locate work. When they do apply for work, they are applying for positions for which they are clearly unqualified, but yet they can claim to be looking for work. In addition to that, they're running a very simple little scam to turn the food stamps into cash. And the way it works is they go grocery shopping with their domestic partner. They pay for the food on the food stamps, and then the domestic partner reimburses this individual for half the cost of food. So,
well, I don't know if we want to get into all of these particular details, but the argument, Representative Barnes, that the work requirement is entirely reasonable for able-bodied adults without children.
Right, and like I said, so our end result, what we would like to see is more people in job. We want to see as many people employed across Milwaukee County, across the entire state of Wisconsin as possible. Unfortunately, the job prospects have not changed. One of the bigger things that I always like is that we have pursued this witch hunt, this legislative session. It's been a big, huge priority of the governor, his public benefit reform. There's a whole new committee completely dedicated to it. However, when you look at the mismanagement of money in the state, the real public waste has been the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. If we address that issue with the same fervor that we are addressing people who have very little means, regardless, and I will, in any situation where people are receiving public dollars, you run the risk of there being fraud. Are there people who maybe defraud the state of no more than $200? Because if you're a single able-bodied adult, I think the most you can get is not even $200. Are there people who may scam the system for maybe $200 a month? It's very much possible. However, this isn't the majority of people we're talking about who are receiving these benefits. So as up in arms as the legislature, as the majority part of the legislature, as the governor has gotten about people receiving a few dollars, $100 a month, we have not addressed the large issue where we have an entity established by the governor that has misplaced millions of dollars, that has given out fraudulent loans, that has given money to companies who have up and left the state, who were tasked with creating jobs for the people who need them the most, the people who are receiving these public benefits.
Yeah, Representative Barnes, what about, and I'm coming up on a break, so I just, Jessica McBride said, we're not even saying get a job to able-bodied adults without children. The requirement is go to a free job training program. So it's not, you know, so then you could, but she's saying the people who were dropped wouldn't even go to that program.
Well, I'm sure there are instances where that's the case, but I would also like to highlight that there are situations where people who were in full-time employment, people who had jobs, 40-hour week, living wage jobs, who've lost their jobs, who found themselves applying for food share, who never imagined they would see themselves in that situation. When that happens, you have people who are overqualified for many types of jobs. And when they go to this type of job training, oftentimes they're humiliated, one, because the jobs they're being told to apply for or the job training that's there for them is a training or a job that does not hold a candle to what they were making or what they were doing previously. And it's unfortunate that the people who lose their jobs aren't always able to bounce back. We're talking about people who lost jobs through no fault of their own. They weren't fired, they were laid off, or where they worked is just, it doesn't exist anymore. So that's one of the bigger issues for me and so many other people. We need to really kind of slow this train down. It's gotten out of hand.
We'll get to more calls and discussion with Mandela Barnes, Democratic State Representative from Milwaukee. He is urging the Department of Health Services to request a waiver from the time limits for food share recipients in Milwaukee County. Joining me now for a few minutes is Bill Martins, as we are in our year-end membership drive, and we are looking for your support to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. You can make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've heard from 14 listeners so far this hour. We're looking to hear from 15, so let's make sure we get that goal before we're out at 8 o'clock. And your support is so important to help keep the fund, to help keep the programs you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio going strong. So make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I hope that you have been enjoying and learning some things about this this new law requiring that people on food stamps, able-bodied adults on food stamps, either work or seek work. We are hearing two sides to this particular issue, something that we try to do on a regular basis, bringing you multiple sides to issues of the day. Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Many people give $10 or $15 a month, but you choose whatever amount is right for you. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Larry Mueller, and today we're talking Brussels sprouts. There's so many other great things in the garden, but our parents just don't get it. No matter how they cook them, Brussels sprouts are inedible. But our guest today has some ideas.
Well, the dog is no help. Believe me, I've tried. And a lot of the time, you want to mash potatoes to hide them under. If you have bread with dinner...
We grow together. And with your support, we'll continue to grow.
One of my favorite vegetables, Brussels sprouts.
And this is a recipe that's sophisticated enough for grown-ups, but will still please your children. It still has some sweetness to it. It's really, really good.
Together, we are Wisconsin Public Radio.
While the Brussels sprouts are roasting, you're going to stir apple juice and maple syrup together and then cook it down until it becomes a glaze.
I like Brussels sprouts. How about you, Bill?
Yeah, they're okay.
I do. Anyway, we would like it if you would make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, because you get to hear discussions about Brussels sprouts and politics and coming up on Your Money. Mm-hmm. We have a little something for everyone, but it costs money, and we need your help to do it. We are listener-supported radio, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It costs a lot of Brussels sprouts to keep Wisconsin Public Radio on the air, and you know, you're part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners. Maybe you have been for a long time, and now you can be a part of our community of members, people who support the programs they value. If you've never given before, you might want to start with a pledge of, say, $5 a month. Your pledge of any amount makes you a member. It all starts with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, during this holiday season, you not only are supporting a radio service that you love, you are giving something extra. If you ask for Food for 20 when you give $5 a month, or Food for 40 when you give $10 a month. So make that pledge to not only support Wisconsin Public Radio, but to help the food pantries in your region. 888-202-2552 or pledge at WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. During the first 3 months of a new law that requires some food stamp recipients to seek work, 15,000 people were dropped from the program. We are talking with a guest who says that there ought to be a waiver for the time limits for food share recipients in Milwaukee County. Says that the success rate for a job training program is so low and there are no jobs available, so shouldn't be punishing people by taking them off food stamps given the circumstances. Mandela Barnes is a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. We will welcome your questions and views for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You pointed out, Representative Barnes, that the state program to assist recipients in finding work has only a 7% success rate. Why is it so low, do you suppose?
That's hard to tell. I've talked to a couple people who've had, they've had their reasons. They've tried to explain to me some of the difficulties they have with people. However, I want to say in the first 6 months, like the first six-month invoice, Firm Rest Care was $1.8 billion. That's a hefty price tag if the situation, if the problem hasn't been figured out. I've actually worked at the Milwaukee Area Workforce Investment Board prior to being elected. And ironically enough, I was laid off from there, and I found myself on food share. However, this is another story for another day. But the fact is, true enough, there are people who have some extreme difficulties, and we accept that. I understand that. But the goal is, the point is, to work with that individual however possible, to remedy the situation, to overcome those barriers to employment. And some people may not want to work, but I tell you, that's a very small percentage of people in our society. It is very difficult to get by. And even if it was your goal to scam the system, you are not getting by with enough money to survive on. You are a much better off person if you're able to find a job, which this is not the case for too many people in our area. So when it comes to the low placement rate, part of it may be the difficulty that some people face, but another part of it is there are just the jobs just don't exist right now in Milwaukee, in the state of Wisconsin. We've done a pretty bad job at creating opportunities for employment in our state.
After the Wisconsin State Journal story came out on the 15,000 food stamp recipients that were dropped from the program, Governor Walker tweeted, "Simple. If you are an able-bodied adult without children, we expect you to be in our job training program and to look for work if you want help." Doesn't sound like he's ready to lift any three-month time limit as you would want him to do.
Well, look, I'll say this. The bigger picture right here is that you or your listeners recall there was a time where Governor Scott Walker ran for president. Prior to him running for president, when he was a prospective candidate, he introduced his plan for public benefit reform because it's something that polled well with Republican voters across the entire country. This is not about saving money for the taxpayers of Wisconsin, in my opinion. Again, the opinion of many others, this is a political move. It was a politically calculated move with very specific intentions. However, the governor is, back to being governor of Wisconsin, and in an effort to, continue, or this isn't even anything new. However, the statement, the rhetoric that you see following the displacement of 15,000 people still fits into the earlier narrative of this year.
Let's go to Dino in Middleton, who has a question. Hi, Dino.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for your show. I just wanted to ask your representative if there's any way through this legislation or through some kind of legislation to help these people being affected in Milwaukee, to perhaps help them move to communities where there's lower unemployment and more job offerings, like maybe Waukesha or Dane County, Ozaukee County. And I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Move, so that'd be pretty hard, I suppose, but he wants to, maybe assistance if somebody wants to move to another community?
Yeah, hey, thank you for that question, too. Thank you for calling in. One of the things about that, too, because I talked about Weedick earlier, if you look at a map, you will see a partisan preference for job creation by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. You will see districts that were represented by Republicans had more jobs created. And a lot of the people that you would be moving out to these areas, one, I don't think it's right that we should have to displace people, put them in an entire different area because they're, because the jobs weren't created equally as they should have been.
Here's a listener email. It is hard to get a job. It is hard to get to job training if you can't get there. Maybe you need gas money. Maybe you don't have a car. Maybe you have a disability or are waiting a decision from the government. it's obviously too hard to walk and get there. So is that a part of it? It's hard for some people to get to the job training?
Well, that's a piece of it. That's a very common barrier to employment as a whole, so as well as job training. There are a lot of things that go on with people who live without means. And there's this expectation that just because, you know, we have this benefit for you, that you are automatically able to attain it by any means. That's just not always. We leave too many things, you know, too many things are completely disregarded. Too many things are not considered, too many factors. You have to think of a person's housing situation. Think of a homeless person, right? A homeless person is, could be an able-bodied adult. There's no provision in there for a homeless person. So you can imagine some of the things that a person without a place to stay, whether they are on the streets homeless or whether they just don't know where they're going to sleep the next night, that can present a huge issue. You know, what are they even going to wear to the job training? What are they going to wear to an interview? So before we go off just thinking that, yeah, you know what, why isn't someone working? Yeah, they should be able to work. You know, it's a rallying cry for conservatives. It's a rallying cry for not, even more than conservatives. I know people who are not conservatives, people who identify as Democrats, who may fall into the thought and automatically assume that it's just so easy for someone to get to work. Again, in a dream world, in a utopian society, everyone will be working. Everyone will have access to employment, access to a living wage, but that is just not the case. This is what we want. This is what we want to happen. We want to work. We want to have those jobs created in the areas that are most in need. That should be our goal. That needs to be our priority before we say, well, yeah, well, you need to work. You need to work because you're receiving this food share benefit. Well, no, you need to work because we created the job for you to go to earn a living.
What do you think is going to happen to the 15,000 people who have been dropped from the program?
Not sure yet. However, I'm certain that a lot of our food pantries will see an influx in their caseload. It's a scary thought. It's a scary thought on one hand for people who are just going to be, you know, relying on friends, family, if they have that. And, you know, any time throughout world history, you look at, you look at famine, you look at hunger as being one of the most volatile, it creates some of the most volatile points in history, hunger, famine, poverty, and we're not in a, look at the poverty rate in Milwaukee already, we're the second poorest city, to Detroit. Add this on top of the mix, it's a very toxic compound.
Yeah, I wish we had more time, but we don't. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mandela Barnes, Democratic State Representative from Milwaukee. And Bill Martins joins me for the last couple of minutes of the program as we are in our year-end membership drive. And we have a couple minutes to ask you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Joy, this hour we've heard from 19 listeners, including 11 new members. So that's great to see. And we still have a couple of minutes left to go in this hour. Let's get a few more. Let's get them in there. Make that pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every day. You get value from this program. You are listening now. You also probably listen to the Kathleen Dunn Show, or maybe you listen to Zorba Pastor on Your Health or other shows on the weekend.
That's right. WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. Support the exciting mix of shows you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Bill, we certainly did not plan this. We are talking about the food stamp program in Wisconsin, and during this holiday season, you can let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio to people who are in need in your area. You can ask for the Food for 20 program when you give $60 or food for $40 when you give $120. Your thank you gift will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you. So you can do two good things at once with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As we look ahead to 2016, we're so grateful that Wisconsin Public Radio has such strong listener support. One gift at a time, listeners provide our single largest source of funding. If you haven't given this year, now's the time. And if you have given this year, you know, we'd appreciate a special year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Sean from Sun Prairie for your pledge. He says, I'm a longtime listener and supporter of WPR. Thank you, Sean. How about you? WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.